Hello and welcome to the Bangers List podcast. You're here with Daniel, Joel and Julian, and I'm going to get shit-faced while they talk shit about some of my favourite songs, or one of my favourite songs in this case, called IHE, which is either I Hate Everything or I Hate Everyone, whatever floats your boat, and it's by a band called Miss May I.
So we'll just jump into a sample.
Let's go for it. Oof. All right, boys, Miss May I. So they're from Ohio. They've had 6 studio albums to date, with this particular song being off Deathless, which was from 2015.
So it's not their latest album?
No. So it's not that new, but it's a fucking banger.
Yeah.
I think I came across this song randomly on Spotify when I was listening to Miss May I. And a bit of crunch. Was that a crunchy riff?
I shouldn't have done that. I just want to point out, I love how in some episodes we go through like the band's full history, all the records, and then the bands were like, yep, let's just start bashing religion straight away.
It's good to mix it up.
You can tell the bands that someone is like really into and they know everything.
Like, man, I just talk for about 15 minutes straight and don't shut up.
Yeah, tell me more.
I came across this song randomly on Spotify when I was listening to their latest record, which I can't think of the life of me what it's called, but
shit fan.
it grabbed me straight away. A really really good banging song.
Yeah,
throughout.
Fuck, it's angry.
It's very
personifies angsty. The Bangers List. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, it's you know what the Bangers List is kind of all about. These sorts of songs at the end of the
day. Look, let's just get it out there. This one fucking slaps.
It fucking slaps.
Like it's. Yeah, we talked last week about my questionable choices. This is not a questionable choice.
Oh, look, we've all had some questionable choices. I think we do that so we can...
Yeah, you wore that hat. Just,
to help expand our musical tastes a little bit.
Yeah.
Keeping within the same genre, more or less, but still to...
A big umbrella genre.
Shadows Inside is the name.
Of what?
Of the album.
The record.
Oh, cool. That's the title track that was, I think, is also on
the list. It's also on the list, yeah.
Yes. So we end up going with this one because I personally feel it bangs a little bit harder.
We were going to do a double header, but the fans like just the single headers for some reason.
Yeah.
The non-Tasmanians.
So heads. These guys have had a pretty steady lineup throughout their career.
The only thing that's happened, right? I don't know why I know this because I barely know the band, but I know that the clean singer and bass player is his surname Neff?
Ryan Neff.
He left for a record, and he was like, fuck it, and then came back.
He came.
And that's pretty much the only
lineup change they've had, and they just kicked the other guy, his replacement or his fill-in out. He's like, oh, Ryan's back.
Yeah.
See, dude, you're off.
Yeah. No, they're very good. I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
The very little exposure I've had to them, there's nothing I haven't heard that doesn't sound sick. A mate of mine about 2 months ago, funnily enough, actually told me to listen to one of their songs called A Dance with Aracura.
Right.
It's like one of their older ones because the breakdown in it at the end is quite similar to a breakdown from the end of another song we like. And I was like, he was putting it on. I was like, is this Miss Mayo? He goes, yeah. I was like, this is fucking sick.
Okay.
So I think I sort of sampled everything through their discography and they have been just sick the whole way through.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere, just confirm or deny, I think it's like a 3 or 4. I read somewhere they basically said, we like what metalcore was when we started as a band. We don't really want to do what metalcore has become. We like making the metalcore that we remember, that we grew up listening to, that we sort of like enjoy making. So that was what they kind of said.
This song is basically straight up metalcore. It has a solo, but like it's fucking as metalcore as you get, I'd say.
And yeah, you mentioned solos. Like the guitar work in this song is phenomenal.
All right, let's get back. Rhythm and lead. We'll get back to it as musicians. So you guys, guitar work. Mm. Obviously, you're saying it's great. What do you think, Joel?
It's got some melodic stuff that isn't quite standard in most of your metal songs, and the solo is pretty good. It fits. That's not a fucking way to describe talented musicians.
Boom bars.
This is
quick.
It's not like Dragon Force or anything, but there's some elements that are similar to that. Like,
well, there's a lot of just like tremolo picking at the start as well, isn't there? There's the intro. It's about a minute long,
and it sort of builds up. They've got a really reverb heavy sort of. Slightly distorted guitar, very lightly distorted guitar.
Yeah, haunting sound.
Yeah, very haunting.
Like some hectic shit's about to come around the corner.
We talked about this in Spiders, makes you sort of feel like
a little uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. That's right.
And then he screams.
And then he just breaks into it.
As a fan of heavy music, I get what you're saying about the dissonance it causes you to feel. When I heard this song for the first time about 3 hours ago, because I'm fucking terrible, I was like getting excited. Yeah. I was like, there's something big coming.
Yeah.
It's like if you knew how the signal fire started, but you were waiting for it, you're like, oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Here it is.
Here it comes.
It's good. It's that sense of anticipation. You're like, something's coming. And then it's just, it builds up that adrenaline. And then, it's, you know, like you picture it live. It's like if they were playing this song.
But haven't come out yet.
That would, or that would be like the start of a circle pit. They're getting a circle pit ready to go. It's like, righto, guys. Make some space. Let's go. Or a wall of death or whatever. And then they'll be playing that. And then
I think, what you said, Joel, they'd play the intro as like a walkout piece. And then if they had like a curtain, they'd drop the curtain when the song started. Right. I don't know if they have a curtain, but they may.
I love that it starts with like a big scream, and then after that, he does like another throat clearing kind of scream.
Oh,
yeah. It's like it's in between like an O and a I'm trying to clear my throat because I love a fat throat clearing scream in a song, and they're awful, but it's grown on me. But the two of them, fuck yeah, it's
good. Sam Carter from Architects is notorious for just his blurgs everywhere, like BL. E-R-G-H. That's how you write it, but it sounds like bleh. It's just, and he does it in like every other song. So it's definitely one of those sort of like, hallmarks.
Almost like a percussive effect of unclean vocals. Hey,
it is. Absolutely.
Good way to describe it, actually.
So I'll butt in quickly. The drums. I've known about these guys for a while, so I've known their drummer is quite good for a while. He's just, the first time I ever saw him, he was a scrawny little dude with long hair. And like these guys started when they were like 16, I'm pretty sure. They were very young when they started. They got a record deal when they were also very young. And I'm pretty sure from the get-go, he was just a weapon. Like he's just, like really bang on with a double bass, really effective with his, there's a song called Relentless Chaos. He's got really, really good hand and feet rolls and that sort of thing. So I think he's definitely worth a point or two there. I think the recording of it as well, the production of it, they have the bass drum and that rhythm guitar that's doing those tremolos, those lower end stuff. They gel really well and they give it much more atmospheric overtone.
Sometimes you can't even tell that it's two different things you won't realize that one stops. Usually when that happens, what you're trying to say is the bass drum will go in time with whatever the guitarist is playing, which is, a big hallmark of a breakdown, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da at the same time. But sometimes you won't even know when the guitar's stopped. But when it comes back in, it's like, oh, it gets even bigger. The sound is larger, heavier, more encompassing. And it's something this song has it almost throughout. It's one of the best parts of the song is just how he's constantly hitting in the same time.
Doesn't chill out at all. But he's not, I know it sounds contradictory, he's not going absolutely hammer and tongs constantly either. I was talking to someone a while back about double bass. And there was a period as a drummer when I was in my infancy stages of double kicking where I thought the machine gun super fast double bass, like the Heretic Anthem or whatever, that was like sick. That was the best thing ever. Always have that. And I got to a point where I was like, that's not really that talented. And then I didn't think about it for years because I was like, ooh, metalcore. And it's not as, like, you don't often get the machine gun double bass for very long in a lot of the metalcore we listen to. And then sort of came up again a little while back and I thought, you know what? Like, just use it tastefully. What I mean? Like those fucking, that Flesh God Apocalypse band I was talking about, that dude's literally going fucking 280 BPM all song and I just don't rate it at all. Very fucking talented, like that stamina endurance, but I don't think it's, well, okay, in fairness, death metal like that, it's a different box of frogs. You get what I'm saying? You use it tastefully.
Yeah.
Don't blast the whole way through.
It's to add dynamics and stuff.
Yeah.
Really.
So like, music I listen to, like deathcore, like Thy Art, for instance, the double bass is going the whole time because it's blast beats and it's matching them because they're blasting. But, back to my point, I think use it tastefully. And this guy is just a weapon with it, so.
Yeah, and I think, and that's the key, that's a point I wanted to bring up. This song is, despite being really heavy and banging all the way through, it's quite balanced if you think about it, because you got that nice little lead up intro that builds up that anticipation, then it explodes into this just thrashy tremolo picking kind of
riff. So there's always thrash metal, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. And then when it gets into like the drums sort of take a little bit of a step back. I think probably the pre-chorus, I guess you'd call it. And
I hate that weird riff into the chorus. It's like ding, 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 ding. Oh, fuck. I hate that.
Oh, that's the only shit part of the song. I was going to say, I think it's really, like, it's just a good, I think it's a good, good use of guitar work. That you go from that really sort of
thrashy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I couldn't think of, sorry. I cut you off. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But that's, I think it's a, it creates a good contrast throughout the song. I think that's the thing when you talk about songs that just kind of like blast beat all the way through or fucking double kicking at like 280 BPM. Like yeah. it's just fast. That's an exaggeration.
That's fast. Like if no, honestly, like look at a video of someone doing a 280 BPM blast. Like no drummer I've ever seen has a normal look on their face. Lee Stanton, formerly the Thy Art, he used to like twist his head like this, like and just make pull a face like he was trying to sneeze, shit, vomit, and fart at the same time.
You know what I mean?
Like, fuck man. Like he's just his face was like, all right, brain's occupied, do whatever you want.
The body just does the same thing.
And so his face was just completely lopsided. All the muscles weren't working together, but he was bang on with the blast. So you know.
So when you say at 250 BPM blasting, you mean like 16th notes, which is 16 notes in the bar.
32s and 64s.
60 fucking that's a lot of notes to do really quickly.
Yeah. It's quick. Colin's probably gonna hear that and want to slap me. I don't actually know where Colin is this week. He wasn't there last week either, but he's somewhere. I think he's just vanished.
He's working with a choir this week, isn't he?
No, that was last week. That's what that was. Okay. He was with the choir, choir from Star Wars. This week,
yeah, I don't know. Of course, the release next month.
He's still fucking shitty about the log cabin, too. You left him in the lurch, but you did have a sore back.
So, that's right.
So, all right, so the lyrics of this one, what do we reckon?
The very brief and powerful lyrics. For me, it's just basically about someone just kind of over it, just done with life, I guess you could say. It's just had a lot of shit dealt out to them, and just doesn't want to take it anymore. And they feel like they're so overcome by that all. They're just fucking over it. And like you know, the lining in the chorus. Bury me deeper underground. Where is it?
In the middle there, but pushing, I cannot escape. Yeah.
Pushing me down deeper in my grave. And then I cannot escape if I'm already underground. So they're already like kind of consumed by all of this, whatever's going on. And they don't see the point in coming back up. They're like, I'm just fucking done.
I just wanted to make the point briefly that, you know, we do talk about music and sort of lyrical expression being sort of about suicide and stuff like that. It's a hallmark of the music we listen to. I think with this one, it isn't necessarily about death per se, but the grave is an analogy for despair as such. Do you see what I mean? Like it's not about him wanting to be actually dead. It's him
inside.
It's him being so like suffocated by the issue, like the torments of his life or his mind or whatever.
That's what it is for him. Like he's written this thing and he's very angry about it. But for people to listen to it, it's going to be very therapeutic and helps them get through like their anger. When you're like, oh fuck, I feel better. My anger's released. It's a venting song, isn't it?
And you can feel the vocalist
venting. The passion.
The passion. Like
the anger. What's his name? It's Jared's the drummer, isn't he?
I only know
the bass player.
We know Ryan Neff.
The one thing that none of us do is the bass. Hang on, I'm out of here as well.
But
top tier research we're doing here as well. All right. Levi Benton is the vocalist, the lead singer, sorry.
That's right.
Because the bass player in this band plays
Jared Boyd is the
clean
drummer.
Vocals?
He does the clean vocals, correct.
Bass player, yeah.
Although it says here that the rhythm guitarists also do the backing vocals. So I think they might do like the big screams and sort of stuff like that. Or like the gang vocals aspect. Levi Benton, anyway, you can hear that he's very cross.
But in a lot of their stuff, he comes across powerful and angry.
Yeah, and I think that gives them the edge because I was having a listen to the lyrics and a read along. There are a couple of lines that are a little bit edgy, a little bit sort of whingy. You know, I think if it was in a different context, it would sound, you go, oh, that's whingy. But because it's just so fucking brutal, there was previous mention and sort of similar theme, but it would come across if you had less heavy music, basically, it would sound.
Yeah. You know. Delivery can completely change a lyric, like I've said.
The atmosphere of the music as well. Yeah.
I said it about a lyric a couple episodes ago that I was like, this is such a cringy episode. I think we might have been Alpha Wolf. They have a lyric that is extremely cringy. Yeah, he said, you're barking like a dog, but I'm a fucking wolf. And I'm like, that is so cringy. But he delivers it like a fucking punch in the face, so it makes it.
Then there's the bear hole afterwards as well.
Exactly.
Oh, you got so excited about that as well. Yeah. I've never seen you so happy to yell something out like that. Yeah, definitely. And these guys do that well. And like from the what I've heard of their catalogue, it's a lot of it is that not so much balls to the wall, full tilt, full time like this song, but they don't back off too much. Is that fair to say? As a as more of a fan than I
am? I'm not a massive fan. I don't know a lot of their stuff, but I do know a few of their songs. Yes, I did put this song, Guilty, I put this song
what
on
the list.
What
makes you a massive fan of a band?
Well, I think you need to know, you need to listen to them frequently, know the bulk of their discography.
So if someone comes up to you like your boy Jared Dines, like, ugh! Name three bands by three songs by your favorite band. You'd have to be able to answer
punch
like three.
That fuck in the head, so your hand breaks.
Yes, I don't know because I think I'm a pretty big fan of them, but I haven't listened to all their stuff or all their albums really.
That's a very fucking interesting point, though. That is
what makes a big fan.
What makes you a quote?
Do I have to wear their shirts? Because I'm not into band shirts very much anymore.
But you get people that love band shirts, but they don't listen to many bands.
Yeah, so
they just go, I'm going to support this band and buy a shirt. And you got people like me that don't really own a lot of band shirts, or they own one Polaris shirt and wear it everywhere.
But then again, you have vinyls, right? If you own a vinyl, are you exactly a huge fan? Because vinyl is some archaic shit that edgy people have now.
Does owning vinyl make me edgy? Tag us on Twitter and tell me. we'll start a poll. Does owning vinyl make you an edgelord? Considering it's almost edgy how I started collecting them, because I actually accidentally bought one without realizing.
Yeah.
It was Beloved by Prom Queen. It was their bundle and it was $40. And I was like, oh, yes, CD and the shirt. No worries. Turns out CD, shirt, and vinyl. I just didn't read it.
That's sick. It's a good deal.
Yeah. And so, does it make me edgy that I just like, I was being so edgy, I didn't even buy it on purpose.
And so that was the catalyst to start your record collection, though.
Yeah. Anyway, back to, I'd say, in generally speaking, if you know a good portion of a band's music, you know, you don't have to know every song of every record. You know, you know a couple of their records.
Who has time for that, really? Like to actually know for every single band they listen to know the entire discography.
Oh,
you say that. I'm sure.
Well, no, I was about
to. I can do that with a couple of bands. Yeah. But
I was going to jump on you for a second there, but then you said every single band. Mm. And that's absolutely the case. Like these guys, I listen to them once a blue moon. August Burns Red, I think they're an amazing band. I just don't listen to them that much.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Too busy listening to Polaris' new song. And just, but stuff like that, do you know what I mean? So you make a good point. So I think, yeah, if you know a bit of their discography, you know a few of their songs, maybe you've seen them live a few times. I don't know. I think it's just an umbrella term that we use to mean anything and everything we want to.
It's quite subjective.
Labels make things easy, don't they?
Yeah. It just comes, Joel just comes with his little like tidbits of wisdom. Just throw that in there.
Very wise, Joel. So I think we've talked a lot about the music in this song. We can all agree it's pretty impressive. Like all that, all the musicians, all the members of this band play their part really, really well. And like we said, it's well balanced and creates got good contrasting parts of the song or different elements in the song throughout that I think creates a more banging tune overall, if that makes sense. Because it's not foot to the floor all the way through. Like it's a lot of energy in it, but it's broken up with some clean vocals in the chorus. Good old Ryan Neff. Yeah, man. That's and
your boy.
Yeah, he's a new Adam D. Ryan Neff.
Ryan Neff.
I like that, yeah.
That's the meta.
And where was I? Yeah, it's just there's a lot of elements in this song that contribute to the overall kind of
it's a synergy.
Yes. Thank you.
Musicians form a synergy.
All songs with their different parts should come together and be a synergy.
That's right, yeah.
But they
some do it better than others. Okay. And I think Miss May I in this particular song have nailed it. So yeah.
All right.
I dig it.
What was the first song ever came across these guys? What was it? Well, where were you?
I was not long after I got Spotify. So thank you Spotify for that, because I used to buy CDs all the time and my
I used to fucking support bands.
Yeah. But I used to buy CD and vinyl, still do, but as a result.
Nah, it was lying for it. Continue.
As a result, it would mean that I was quite limited in my taste, because I'm really only going to buy CDs for bands that are established that I know, right?
There's no bands you may also like on the liner notes of a CD. You know how in Spotify you click on a band and you scroll down?
Yeah.
There's other bands you may like.
That's right. Yeah.
Or like he gives you that like suggested picks.
So, you know,
That doesn't exist on the liner notes of a CD.
Do
you know what I mean? Like,
you know, they're a business. They're competing against these other bands. Yeah. And Spotify, I guess, has enabled us and streaming.
YouTube the internet and all
in general has enabled us to broaden our tastes. Yeah, broaden the horizons when it comes to our musical taste. Yeah. And which I think is great. It sucks for the musicians, obviously, because it means, you know, financially they're not as well off. But there are other means of
I don't agree with that. I don't know the numbers of it particularly, but I know that Tool would have made a shitload of money when they put like a week.
Fear Inoculum out.
Yeah. Well, no. About 3 or 4 weeks 5 or 6 weeks before they put out
When they went onto Spotify.
They put their entire discography on Apple Music and Spotify at once.
And they sold
all five of their albums were the top five for the 5 weeks before. I don't know if it was exactly five. All of their records were top.
Fuck, damn. Smart marketing.
Until Fear Inoculum came out. Yeah.
It's like,
but those big bands will get better money from Spotify. Mm. But like we've talked about before with Polaris, actually, it may be less money right this second, but it is that residual income. Like I've listened to this song Crooked Path enough times this year to put like half of their kids through college that they haven't even had yet.
And,
do you know what I mean?
And you mean like because they get 0.0003 cents per listen. Yeah. And you listen to it that much, you can have your college.
it was just a joke. Thanks for stepping on the neck.
No, I'm just trying to tell them how much you listen to it.
You know what I mean? Like, those smaller bands are definitely not going to get as much money from Spotify, but it would be interesting to see the metrics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, is it feasible for me to say and accurate for me to say it's less money right this second, but it is that residual income, or is it just like so small?
I fucking wonder.
Because metrics aside, like, it's exposure at the end of the day.
Spotify and that's the other thing.
Gives
as
you
well.
That exposure, and it's so much more, music is so much more accessible. Like, fuck, I could try and put something together tonight and then
have it on Spotify.
Have it on Spotify. And then I don't want to listen to it. It'd be fucking shit. But
like the podcast.
Because the thing is, with years and years ago, before, I guess, the advent of Spotify and all this stuff, Daniel was a stickler for the rules and he'd go out and buy his CDs like an idiot, get in his car.
Righto, man.
And he's,
that
you
does
know,
make you an idiot.
It's back in the day. He's got his 6 stack of CDs. Fucking thing in the car. What do you got in there today? I've got 4 Avenged Sevenfold albums and 2 AC/DC. And that's all I've had for this last 2 years.
That's exactly what I mean.
No fucking like question that at all. Like if Joel introduced us 10 years ago, when you would, that would have been you. I would believe
it's
that.
Not, 100%. Not even 10 years ago, man. But seriously,
like
it's
3 years.
Do you remember? You go.
And I'm just saying, as a result of that, I think Spotify. And going back to the point about whether you're a big fan of a band, I think Spotify gives you access to more bands. It allows you to, you know, broaden your horizons. Yeah. But as a result, you might not get obsessed with that band as much.
I agree with that.
I haven't been obsessed with the band in a long time since probably Volbeat, but you know, we leave them out of the bangers list. But there hasn't been a metalcore band that I've been, shut up. They're good, man. Shut up. But there hasn't been a metalcore band that I've been obsessed with in a very long time.
There you go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like Parkway Drive, probably the last one that I got right into.
Well, see, I found.
So, yeah, I understand that. I had that as well. I just wanted to make a quick point that I've completely fucked. Oh, okay, right. MP3 CDs. Let's just take a little bit more of a stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, here we go.
When MP3 CDs came out, I think.
MP3 CDs.
So there was originally there was just blank CDs and you could burn about, depending on how big and long they were, you could burn about 18 to 20 songs onto these discs, right? And then they figured out a different way to encode shit and they made some other shit, I don't know. MP3 CDs were a thing. So you encoded as MP3. So you could fit like...
Oh, I get heaps of songs.
Yeah, 700 meg.
Oh, you could fit 80 plus songs on a CD.
So I used to have a CD wallet in my shitbox Mazda 323 that my dad very gratefully bought me. Thank you, Dad. And I don't, you know, it was one of those like Sun Visor CD wallets.
Yeah.
So I had like 10 of them in there. And so I had like Cell Dweller, discography, the Hilltop Woods discography, Slipknot's discography, like just I could fit most of a band's discography, if not all of it, on a CD. And I thought that was fucking top tier. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't have to fuck about with like a 10-track CD. I could just bang the whole discography. Mm-hmm. You could search by album. You could skip by album and stuff like that.
Oh, that's...
You know, and that was when I was 17, driving around my little shitbox car. I thought that was great. And I thought this is the best that fucking music consumption is ever going to get. You know, little did I know that you were driving around 10 years later with a 6 stack. And did your car have an aux cable input?
It did.
because, like I said, he didn't want to break the rules. But this is the best part. He goes out one day, he buys a new CD, and he gets into the car and he's like, oh, fuck, man, I don't know what CD to take out.
I can imagine you sitting there sweating. Like, you know, that meme of the guy sweating, trying to make a choice. You had four Avenged Sevenfold CDs. But, like, you take one out, it's like, no, but then I can't listen to this one song.
Yeah.
Like, Seven, or whatever the song's called. I don't know.
I remember. I remember, there was one time I was very proud of myself. It was in my uni days, and I had my six stacker in my Subaru Impreza. Sorry?
Was it in the boot?
No.
Oh, okay. I just pictured you getting out and like putting it. Some of them were actually in the boot of cars.
It was in the front, and we had dramas with it.
Anyway. Yeah, we did. We had to pull it. Well, one time my CD's got stuck in there.
So he listened to the same CD for like 2 years.
My CD got stuck in there, and the eject button stopped working. Oh, the mechanism for the eject button stopped working. So we had to pull the fucking thing out and then. And basically break it to get my Avenged Sevenfold CDs out.
Why don't break them?
Do you know what one of the dumbest but most like handy inventions ever was? It was the aux cable that on one end it was 3.5 mil traditional auxiliary, like traditional aux, right? And then on the other end, it was the fake cassette that you put into a cassette player.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a CD
if you had a ghetto aux car. Jack,
you had like a piece of shit that only had a tape deck in it. And basically, it was a fake tape that you would put in, and it would like connect to the heads and spin. But it would play music off your phone or your MP3 device.
That's amazing!
Holy shit! Oh yeah, it was fucking mind blowing because it just got its signal.
It bridged the gap.
Really basic technology.
Yeah.
Because all it was a signal transfer, like the tape used to, right? But
that was
dumb tech. Like that was the smartest dumb invention ever.
Fucking works.
Do you know what I mean? Like we always say, if it looks, we've never said this before, we're saying it now. If it looks stupid but it works, it fucking goddamn is not stupid. Do you know what I mean? And I say, I love thinking, sort of enjoying those memories, I guess, of when, you know, we didn't have all of this at our fingertips. Do you know what I mean? Where I didn't have that particular band that day. I had to go home and get it it wasn't necessarily better, but it was still fine. You know, we still had a great time. It wasn't necessarily better or worse because you don't know how good or bad the future is going to be. And I was sort of a step ahead of you. I had a very nice, high quality FLAC, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 song library, and my Windows Media Player was fucking top tier. I had all the artwork for every song and every song was formatted properly. I had all the files and they were named and everything. And then I got Spotify, and then that all fucking went out the window. That's I basically just Control A deleted my music library.
So but I don't need this anymore. Yeah.
The one thing I keep some of it on my phone because there were like a lot of B-sides and like demo tracks.
Yeah.
Like I've got quite a few B-sides and demo tracks from Amity, for instance, that I like to listen to every now and then. So you don't get those on Spotify. That's the one drawback that I see.
Yeah, of the stuff that if you are a mega fan, you might want to listen to, like B-sides and stuff.
Hey? That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Or like, yeah. So what you were going
to
say?
Well, in answer to your question, how did I come across
yes,
Miss May I? How did I come across this song in particular? Well, it started with Shadows Inside, and I believe you introduced me to Shadows Inside, Joel. And I think for some reason you told me this band's from Melbourne. They're not. They're from.
Did he say it like that? This band's from fucking Melbourne.
This band's from Melbourne.
Like he was trying to prove a point.
So I think they're Australian, man. They've played at the Basement a few times. I think they're Australian because they've played at the Basement. But no, they're from Ohio. Go figure. And
my bad.
But hey, I'm glad you introduced me to them because they're fucking good. So Shadows Inside, which we have.
It starts off very similar, actually, as well. Yeah. Just balls to the wall.
Yeah. That's right.
Riffage.
And thrashy all the way through. And yeah, and that was their latest record. And so the title track, Shadows Inside, off that record was the one that got my attention. But then I think I had a bit of a listen to that record and then came across IHE and look, I was in love.
Now so it's
your anthem. So I pop it on the list, man.
Yeah. And unlike the weird shit I put on, it was a very, very much a banger. I came across these guys. I was in a YouTube hole a very long time ago. And this is back when YouTube holes weren't as much of a thing. Like, but there was still weird shit there. But again, before YouTube was like super prominent like it is now, I came across a song called Relentless Chaos, but it wasn't the song or the video clip. It was two guys that were in a metal band that were like a dual vocal combo doing a live take vocal cover of this song with like proper recording gear. And I listened to it and I was just like, this sounds sick. you know, but I was sort of captivated by these. I think it's still up there too. These two guys were actually pretty good. Like one of them did most of the cleans and one of them did most of the screams. But then the guy that was doing cleans had this obscene, like almost guttural pig squeal. That sort of just blew my hair back. What the fuck? Anyway, so then I listened to the song and I was sort of quite intrigued by it because, again, their drummer's just this scrawny little dude at the time with long hair, but he's just this weapon. And then, you know, it was that really sort of brutal in your face. We're not going to do this softer breed of metalcore. So that one always stuck with me. And then, yeah, just obviously they sort of pop back up when you threw this song on. So
yeah,
not a huge exposure to them, but enough that you go, people talk about them, you go, yeah, they're legit. It's like August Burns Red. You talk about them, people go, yeah, they're legit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's this little project called Pop or Punk Goes XYZ, you know, Pop Goes Acoustic or Pop Goes Punk.
Oh, yeah, Pop Goes Punk and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that's how I came across them, with this absolute banger called Run This Town, maybe, by another famous artist you might have heard of. I think her name's Rihanna. And they covered that, and I think that's how I heard of them originally. But
do you guys get around the Pop Goes Punk stuff?
Yeah, because sometimes what it can do is give you a different view of a band you like or another version of a song you don't like that's pop, but now you do like it because a band you know is doing it.
Yeah? There's a lot of finger pointing.
That's right. It's weird. It's because the brain gets off on familiarity a lot of time. You hear this song that you'd be like, oh, I like this song now that it's metal.
Case in point, the first one I ever heard, I think we all know this one, it was the Amist cover of Rolling in the Deep.
Yes.
By Adele. Yes. I think they were one of the... I don't know that they were the forerunner of the metalcore covers. A few people did it, and I think a different one made it onto the Pop Goes Punk.
Yeah.
But the AMYST, a lot of this stuff wasn't that great. But, yeah, it was massive. It was huge. You know what I mean? And it starts off with, like, the clean vocal. So I'd always put it on in the car, and people were like, oh, this, I didn't know you listen to Adele. And I'm like, this is not Adele.
And then it's brutal.
And then it goes from being, like, piano and clean vocals to extremely violent and aggressive with unclean. So.
Yeah. And then there was that.
I
just cut you off. Like, I always seem to do. We're just really good at that. There was that band, I Prevail, that had a Pop Goes Punk song, and they did Blank Space by Taylor Swift, and that fucking kickstarted their career. And, you know, for me, I'm like, it sucks that your whole career got kickstarted by a cover, but that's just jealousy speaking, isn't it?
It doesn't. You and I have talked about it before as well. I don't like their music. I think they rode that one to absolute death, and they started popularized the trend of shit posting on social media.
Okay.
But, like, don't hate the player, hate the game. I hate shit posting like that, but they really rode the fucking death out of that one and said, oh, listen to our cover. And then it's bad when a band's, like, better known for a cover than an original.
Yeah.
But they are one of those bands that's, like, broken through, and then now they've got originals that are better known than their covers.
Which is great. Like, that's good to make it in somehow.
Their music's not for me. We'll leave it there.
But before Spotify, and obviously before I'd heard this band as well, I think there was this little web app, website called Gnosic. I think like Gnosic. And I didn't have Spotify or anything at the time. What I would do is you put in three bands. Okay. So you put in three bands and it tells you something you might like. And then I'd go on YouTube and I'd go down the rabbit hole and it'd ask you, do you like this band? Yes or no? And it would change the next answer. And I'd try and find bands like that. But look, Spotify just killed that and makes it way easier, doesn't it? And I guess in reality, would this podcast wouldn't have happened without Spotify being able to save playlists for us either.
Absolutely right. I think as much as I put shit on Apple Music and Apple in general, I think it's really great that we have a selection. So like, it becomes meta. So Spotify is the reason we have access to more bands, but multiple streaming platforms is the reason we have access to streaming platforms. You get what I'm getting? Like, some people will only use Apple Music because they're iPhone users, and fuck them. And then you'll people like an old boss of mine, he used to use Deezer, Deezer, and I'd never even fucking heard of it. And he goes, yeah, it's got literally double the fucking song library that Spotify does.
How?
I don't know. That's exactly fucking right. And for about the same price, you'd think, I was just like, oh, that's shit. It's not Spotify. Then I was like, hang on a second. It's the same, like cheaper almost. Why would you not go with that? And you know, you've got like Tidal, which I don't know a lot about.
Didn't like Kanye or Jay-Z have like a streaming service?
Yeah, no, that's it. Tidal. They were like another dickhead move. This is like a three. Pretty sure one of them, like I think Jay-Z owns Tidal, and I think Kanye West or someone only released their new record on Tidal.
Ouch. Shoot yourself in the foot, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to go and look that up. I think that kind of behavior is shit, and it's a backfire sort of byproduct of streaming services, but I don't really see that often. I don't know about you. I've never really seen that before.
Neither.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Miss Mayo.
Who we're here to talk about. Where were we? Well, we gave our backstory as to how we all came across them.
Has anybody seen this band?
No.
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
They played at a Soundwave, I believe. Well, they played No, but I saw them and I didn't like them at the time. I was there for some other people that wanted to see them, and I just vegetated myself out of it and just fucking stood there and watched them, and they were fine. They were good. Standard show, whatever. I should have paid more attention because here we are talking about them now. I really do enjoy what they do.
So you find it fucking interesting how you went to Soundwave for 4 or 5 years in a row and you watched so many bands idly waiting for your band to come on that you then later on went,
should have watched that band.
Yeah.
Should have watched that
other fucking band because now I like him more than the band I was there to see.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, no, that's right. Soundwave was great for getting that exposure to bands that you wouldn't have thought to just give half a listen to.
Soundwave being the predominant example, but like music festivals in general.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember seeing 2010, No Sleep Till Sydney, one of the first bands on there was an indoor stage in the Horton and then the Albert Hall across, there was an indoor stage, and there was an outdoor stage. And a day to remember was headlining the outdoor stage at the end of the day. That's how a headline works. But this one of the first bands on was Break Even. They were this little band from where are they from? They're from Perth. And they were sort of more straight up hardcore. But the lead singer was just full of beans. He was super happy. He was doing these big stomps like the whole way through the show. And then at one point he stops and he goes, guys, my foot's hurting from stomping, but I need you all to help me stomp together. And, you know, it was just a crowd act, sort of a crowd participation. But because of the charisma and the general fun that this guy had been bringing to everyone, even while playing a hardcore show, there was like probably 400 or 500 people there, and we all started stomping our feet in time with this guy. Like, obviously, it fucking hurts, but, you know, we're all on a big concrete concourse. And the sound sort of rattled around and you could hear this big fucking stomp. So, you know, that was sort of a random story, I know, but that was, you know, you go away and listen to that band, you go, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Just because they're not my cup of tea 100%, but just because of how much fun I had, I'm going to give them more of a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I wasn't like these guys played on a small stage to the side early in the day and I was just like, bleh, I don't care.
Bring on Dragon Force.
Yeah. Those were the days. So, look, we've been talking shit enough. Maybe we should get into some similar bands, similar artists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah. So metalcore, just click that and that's it because they sound like all the other metalcore bands, don't they?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, me.
I'm trying to – you're right, Joel. And
thank you.
I was going to say the same thing, but then it's like then when you actually have to think of some bands, it's like, well, fuck.
So, well, no, I can't think of any.
Who's got one? Let's see how many we can.
I can't say it because no, I reckon parts of Killswitch.
Yeah,
is a very popular.
No,
you example.
Can't say that. No, you can't
popular
say that.
Example. An not so popular. I'd say I have no idea.
Bury Tomorrow, because we've talked about it before. It's exactly the same kind of thing.
Yeah, wage war in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for the brutality.
Yep. That's right. Yeah,
you know, a lot of these bands doing the circuits in America that have been around for a while now that aren't super well known, but they also have that really solid in-house following, and they. I don't know, it's weird because we don't really see a lot of Europe. We see a lot of America, but we don't see a lot of Europe. I think we underestimate just how big a draw a lot of these bands have in Europe.
Mm.
Like, you know, Europe's not in this bubble of, like, white face paint, black eyeliner, and death metal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not in that bubble that we think it is, or I sort of get the impression sometimes it is.
That's how it's marketed to you.
Yeah, there's, like, Eastern European metalcore bands that are like Parkway Drive, and there's fucking Swedish bands that are like, you know, Miss May I and stuff like that. So they have a huge following for this sort of music. So I think these guys do. I think bands just don't do well in Australia.
It's a shit off for coming to, right? We talked about it. It's just hard to come here. It's hard to play.
Yeah.
And there's like, woe is me, I guess. Maybe For the Fallen Dreams, which is, I think they're Christian rock, Christian metal.
They've had like 300 different members.
Yeah, so.
Song's worth a listen.
Look, like I said, everyone thinks I'm their number one fan, but I only know a few of their songs.
Well, no, you're hosting today. I was saying,
Sorry, I was going to say Shadows Inside 100% is one you've got to give a listen to. It's a recent one, and it's title track of the latest record, as we've said a number of times already, but it bangs just as hard. I feel that we almost did the podcast on that song instead.
That song, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I would say Relentless Chaos. I don't know what record it's from. It's Monument. It's from the record called Monument.
Nice.
And I remember listening to that once or twice and it fucking pumps.
Just rehashing things we've already said because I was going to say, listen to that Rihanna song if you like Rihanna and maybe you like metal because it's familiar.
I think it's fair to say these guys are a band that you just give their discography a sweep. Oh, no, A Dance with Arakura is the one I would pick, a really old one. But yeah, give their discography a sweep through because you'll probably find gems like this really easily.
Do people just do it? Like, I'm just going to listen to this band's discography if they've got like over 5 albums. Do you do that?
I don't know. For me, it's been like, if really? I like their first record, if I like the sound, I'll give it more of a listen. You know,
where do you find the time?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't have a kid or anything, so I got plenty of time.
Just going like, well, I'm just going to sweep this album, this discography here, headphones in, and off you go. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Lucky you.
On that point, there, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier when we claimed like Spotify has sort of given us so much more access, right? You look like you're over talking about Spotify.
No, I was just yawning. Sorry,
but
I'm just trying not to yawn straight into the microphone. I'm told off by a fucking editor.
But you're right, and like, that's the point I brought up earlier. It's who really like to be a really big fan, who has like not a lot of people have that kind of time to just listen to an entire discography, right? It takes a lot of energy and like a lot of time. And I think it's very rare that you're going to have a band, you're going to be like, right, I'm going to just listen to every single song they've ever released. And they might have 100 plus songs off 7 or 8 albums, you know? And
yeah, unless you've got like a long commute to work.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. But and I think it's very gradual. I think the bands that, you know, that you love long term, that you always enjoy, like you will, the new material comes out, you will listen to that. But then meanwhile, whilst you're waiting for that new material to come out, you go explore older material.
Yeah.
You go look at, you know, if you get onto the scene a little bit late, like for me with Parkway, like I'm a pretty massive Parkway fan now, but I didn't get into them until Aya came out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, Aya's good. But then I went back and listened to Deep Blue and Killing with a Smile and Horizons and
Atlas. You think about it. There are fucking two years between album cycles. Generally.
Yeah, typically, yeah.
Like 2 years, man. That's a long. That's right. Like to say that you don't have time. Not you saying, but to say that you don't have time to listen to 5 hours worth of content over the course of 2 years and not have any kind of familiarity with it. I'm not pointing at you specifically. I'm just waving my hand because I can't. I get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's when you put the two together, you go, oh, okay, fuck.
Yeah, that's right.
But it doesn't. It's not that easy. You don't bond with every song.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You don't look at every song and go, that's amazing. And I think there is something to be said about bonding with music when it's first released versus 5, 6 to 10 years after it's released.
Well, surely there'll be bands releasing music now and I reckon we won't come across it for another 5, 10 years. Like, wow, why the fuck wasn't I listening to this back then? It happens a lot. Like, as bands have great albums from like 2008, 2010, whenever, when we were finishing high school and we missed it somehow. And looking back, like, oh, I would have loved this then, I think.
Yeah,
I'm glad that it is accessible now. So thank you.
That's right. Again. Yeah. We're so lucky to have that kind of access to.
Our lethargy.
Yeah.
Our lethargy is the only sort of obstacle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Or laziness.
But, you know, like sometimes you'll listen to a band's first record and you'll be like, that's shit. I don't like that at all. You might not hate it, but you just go, nah, not for me.
And you can like tolerate it when you're listening to it. And you can appreciate that they were maybe a bit younger. And
you feel like weirdly guilty if you don't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands, I don't like their first EP. Who's, I just don't like it. Polaris.
Okay.
I don't hate it. It's just dichotomy. I didn't listen to it when it first came out. I don't really resonate with it much. Now, everything thereafter I think is absolutely solid gold, but I'm just like, eh. You know, my mate's like, why don't you listen to it? I'm like, fuck off. Yeah.
Personal preference, my favourite saying.
Mate.
What song are we talking about? We haven't talked about it for so long, I've forgotten.
I hate E.
Hit us up on Twitter if you think it's the E stands for everything or everyone or both. Let us know what you think.
What dumb shit did I say hit me up on Twitter about last week? We were creating a poll.
Oh, no, that was a few beers ago.
It was like half an hour ago. I mean, what?
Are you an edgelord?
Just making an edgelord. For accidentally buying a final.
Yeah, that's right.
Accidentally, no way.
Yeah.
So MVPs, guys, what are your thoughts? I mean, it's a pretty banging song throughout, like we've said, and everyone's kind of contributing pretty equally, I think.
Yeah, so it's hard. This is the hardest part of the fucking game. Drummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared Boyd.
I'm going to say the fucking guy that screams, I guess.
Levi Benson.
Because he brings the passion, Benson. He brings the energy, he fucking screams his guts out, and he hates everyone and everything, and you fucking know it, and it's good.
That's good, yeah.
I think that's fair. Like, the song's heavy by itself, but without the cranky lyrics, yeah, that's a point.
Fair enough. Look, no bias at all here, but the guitarists, I really appreciate the work they've done.
The guy that does rhythm or that does the solo? Both.
I can't tell
which is which.
I can't just have one without the other in this case because they both play such a pivotal role, I feel. And at times, yeah, they are working together. Yeah, there's, you know, the lead guitar that has, you know, adds an extra layer and that's nice. But I'm talking about the riffage throughout the entire song. And, you know, it starts, as I said, you got the eerie reverb filled intro, builds up the anticipation, then bursts into that thrash. And that's driven a lot by the drums and the unclean vocals as well. But I think, yeah, the riffage throughout is just phenomenal. And it's, you know, and it's, like I said, it's contrasting. It's not just the same riff over and over again. There's lots of catchy hooks in this song that still give it that drive throughout. And
as I understand it, that is something these guys are good at doing. Yeah. As far as just a quick glance at technicality, they don't write basic metalcore. They do have some good riffing and some technicality and stuff. So
in their own formula.
Yeah, in their own way. Yeah, right. Joel, what are we doing next?
We're going to do some bangs. How many is the – how hard is a bang? Is there any breakdowns?
There is a breakdown or two. There's a monster breakdown at the end.
That's right.
They use that pattern a couple of times, but – yeah, there's a couple of breakdowns in it.
And I really, actually, before I tell you how many bangs, something that's really can convey a lot of passion in a song and a lot of power is having screams with basically nothing behind it. So at the end of the song, he screams, "I hate," then all the other instruments come in when he says "everyone." That's very powerful, like a punch in the face. So it's a really good part of the song. Basically, just for that, I'm going to give it an 8, just for that one part of the song. Yeah,
so,
it's me.
I'm also going to give it an 8. Great minds, mate. Great minds. I think they say everything at the end, not everyone. I don't know.
He says both, I'm pretty sure.
Does he?
He says both. He says, "I hate everyone, I hate everything." Yeah.
But at the very last line, I think it's "I hate everything." Yeah. But, you know, it's debatable. We'll have a listen later. And we'll
hit us up on Twitter. tell us we're all fuckheads. Add the bangers list. Dear fuckheads. I agree with you guys both. It fucking spanks. It's just... balls to the wall. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
That's not bad. That's a compliment for someone who's listened to like 3-4 hours ago.
If someone gives a song you put on the playlist a higher rating than you give it yourself, that's what the playlist is about. Sharing. They've found something they wouldn't have found without you.
Look, that might change in 6 months and I go, "I don't like that song too much." But, you know, akin to the Signal Fire, it's just, well, sort of, that's the song's in the league of its own. It's just flat out and that's great. That's what you want.
Excellent.
All right, join us next week when we don't record two episodes in one go and split them up.
This is our 20th episode. Thanks for listening. We love all our fans and people that keep sharing songs with us.
Yep, that's a very good point to make.
Keep them coming.
Thank you for listening to my ranting continuously. I get stuck on a loop and just run away with it. Thank you for listening to Daniel's very quiet talking into the microphone.
And we'll be back next week with another song, more tangents, more shit rambling, and
thanks, guys.
Peace.
See you next week.
Catch ya. This is the present I have to tell.